But first, the Defense Department is among the federal agencies breathing a collective sigh of relief after this past weekend's agreement on a budget for the remainder of 2017. It averts a year-long continuing resolution, and it boosts defense spending by $20 billion compared to last year, halts a drawdown in the Army, and gives troops a 2.1% raise. Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu writes about the defense parts of the appropriations bill in this week's edition of Inside the Reporter's Notebook. He talked about it with Federal News Radio's Jason Miller.
Now, Jared, it's good news all around for DOD, both civilian and military personnel, from this tentative budget agreement. Tell me why there's some good news there.
Well, it's good news, first of all, that there is a bill. As we've talked about before, there was a point at which, that's been pretty recent, actually, where senior DOD officials were saying, we almost don't care what the total top-line number is. Just give us a bill, because we've got to get our appropriations in the right buckets, especially when it comes to operations and maintenance, because the 2016 levels didn't come close to what they actually needed to pay for operations in 2017. So it would have left them far short. They would have had to do some pretty drastic things, like stopping all military moves, stopping military bonus payments, stopping flying and training hours in ways that really closely resembled what happened in 2013 when sequestration first hit. But besides getting the money in the right buckets, the plan does include some things that DOD is definitely going to like. It has a pay raise in there that's even above what the Obama administration had requested. We all recall they requested a 1.6% increase. This bumps it up to 2.1%, and that's on both the military and the civilian side. Interesting piece on the civilian side, they don't actually appropriate money to fund the pay increases on the civilian side. They basically just tell the department via language in the appropriations agreement that we think we've saved enough money by virtue of the hiring freeze that was started when President Trump came into office that we can fund a 2.1% pay raise for all civilian employees just out of those savings alone. So they're not appropriating any money for that, but I don't know how that makes people feel. Maybe the civilian pay freeze has done some good for civilian employees in that sense. Beyond that, also some plus-ups in the overall size of the military, which, frankly, military officials have also raised as a readiness concern in and of itself, because they say there are plenty of missions where they just do not have enough people to perform the missions they need to perform. Biggest plus-up there is in the active-duty Army. They had been scheduled to go down to 460,000 active-duty soldiers, eventually to 450,000. Senior officials have been very plain in the last year or two that they think that was, in retrospect, a mistake to think they could get that small and still do everything they need to do. So this bill holds the line at an active duty force in the Army of 475,000, then pluses that up even by another 1,000 soldiers for a total of 476. Similar on the Marine side, the Marine Corps would get 1,000 more service members compared to 185,000 that they had in 2016, they would go up to 186,000. Slight plus up in the Air Force, just 285 airmen then, but then a pretty significant cut on the Navy side, 5,300 sailors cut in the Navy. So all told, what you get when you add all those numbers together is 24,000 more service members than the Obama administration requested way back in February of 2016 when they first proposed this 2017 budget, but it's still 3,000 service members smaller than 2016. So hard to say that by virtue of this budget agreement alone, we're quite meeting President Trump's commitment to regrow the military, but as Mac Thornberry, the chairman of the House Armed Services Committee, said yesterday, it's a down payment with a long way to go from his point of view.
Jared, did they talk about the civilian workforce at all in this budget agreement? It seems like you talked about 24,000 more service members, but what about the civilian side? Because in many ways, they are the tail to this tooth.
They definitely are, and I think you would see a lot of members of Capitol Hill saying we need to reduce the civilian workforce because it's already been increasing at a rate that has far outpaced the rate of growth in the military to the extent there has been any growth. Also important to point out that you don't authorize end strength on the civilian side the way that you do on the military side. They are basically hired to meet mission as individual DOD services and DOD commands decide that that's necessary. There is, however, a special pot of money in this budget that's specifically designated to rebuild readiness, and I think you could expect to see some of that go toward some possible growth in civilian personnel. So it's $14.7 billion in that Rebuilding Readiness Fund in Title 10 of this bill altogether. About half of that is for operations and maintenance, so that's the sort of thing that you could use to pay civilian employee salaries, but more likely it's going to go predominantly toward things like increased training hours, purchases of supplies, and to some extent a little plus up of facility sustainment, restoration, and modernization, which has been a big concern across all of the military services. Even the Obama administration's request itself acknowledged that they were not coming close to meeting all of their facility upkeep needs. The appropriations bill, the final agreement that we saw this weekend, gave a very modest plus up to the Obama administration's request. So that is something that the appropriations committees have been paying attention to. So we may start to see those facility conditions, I almost said improve, but that's not right. It's see them stop deteriorating as quickly as they are.
Part of this plus up, Jared, is about $15 billion more you just mentioned. Does that bust the budget caps? So sequestration, is that a problem?
It does not. They stay within the budget caps. So the budget caps this year under the Budget Control Act are $551 billion on the defense side. It's actually a little more complicated than that because some of that cap is allocated toward defense programs within the Department of Energy. But in any case, they stay below the total number, mostly because they move a great deal of money into DOD's overseas contingency operations account, which does not count toward the caps. So the final top line we wind up with is $592.7 billion, but about $80 billion of that is in the OCO fund. So that's, once you do the math, it's well within the budget caps, but only through that sleight of hand.
Well, it's good news, not busting the budget caps. That means hopefully sequestration will get put off. I'm Jason Miller, executive editor of Federal News Radio. I'm speaking with Jared Serbu on his DOD Reporter's Notebook. Jared, you also write about the Buy American executive order that came out earlier in April. One big issue around that is how's that going to affect the DOD, specifically around technology? Now, it seems like Congress started to delve into that just recently. What'd you learn from that hearing?
So as we know, this is not a new issue for DOD and indeed the broader government. There are Buy American provisions going back to the Great Depression. There have been various amendments added to law, as you kind of indicated, by Congress over the years to push the government further in that direction. But there are a lot of carve-outs. There are carve-outs that say things like, the secretary of a service or secretary of a military service can exempt these Buy American provisions, for example, for a national security need. If there's no domestic source of supply that can provide what you need in sufficient quality or quantity. And really what the Trump order does is tell every single agency to go back and figure out how do we minimize the use of those kinds of waivers. And that's the kind of thing that we're going to have to watch between now and September, when really the Departments of State and Commerce and OMB, who are really in charge of implementing this order, go back and do this scrub and figure out how waivers are being used and the extent to which they can eliminate those kinds of things. It really has serious applications in the area of technology, especially information technology, because there are so few completed devices, or even think back to your smartphone. How many of those are completely sourced from U.S.-made products, or even 50% U.S.-made products or components, which is generally the standard. So that's the big concern. That was brought to life, brought to word by Peter Levine in a hearing last week. He's former DOD Deputy Chief Management Officer, also a longtime staffer on the Senate Armed Services Committee.
It has always been a concern in the acquisition community that if you have Buy American provisions that become too restrictive, it will limit our ability to get the best weapon systems for our warfighters. The acquisition community always has a bias toward getting the best possible for the best possible price. As long as the Buy American provisions are in the area where they are now, the acquisition community has been able to work around them. But there's concern if you ramp it up too much, it might impede their ability to do what they need to do.
Again, Peter Levine, former DOD Deputy Chief Management Officer in the Obama administration. So, Jason, as you can kind of tell from that clip, his sense anyway, and I think this is probably accurate, a lot of the acquisition community sees these Buy American provisions as somewhat of an annoyance, but an annoyance they can live with because there are so many exceptions. And again, that's what we're going to have to watch out for between now and roughly the September timeframe, when we start to see these reports from OMB and other agencies interpreting the Buy American executive order and just watch the extent to which some of those loopholes, shall we say, start to be weeded out, because they're going to have to show something to show for their implementation of this order, I think.
Jared, one of the most interesting things that came from that hearing was former DOD Chief Information Officer Terry Halvorsen, who's now with Samsung, actually testified. And one of the things he mentioned was about the allies and how buying the Buy American Act stops them from really working with, for instance, a company from the United Kingdom, and how that could really have an effect on DOD. Talk a little bit about Halvorsen's perspective, because it's much, he's never been one to mince words.
Right. Yeah. And again, he's coming from a perspective of realism, I think, Jason, because the field in which he works, information technology, again, there are so few products where you can strictly buy American. So you're dealing with a supply chain that comes from all over the world. And really his point is, if we're going to start worrying about which countries components come from, what we really need to worry about is which countries you do not want components to come from. He didn't name any, but I think you could say China and Russia were on his mind. And the point that you were kind of raising is, if we're going to start looking at which countries we want to source our products from, it should be, as he says, Buy American and allied. And the reason for that is not just that we trust the other Five Eyes countries, Canada, New Zealand, the UK, Australia. It's that we also go to war with them constantly. So we need interoperability between our communication systems. So, for example, if you have an American, quote unquote, company that makes all of its equipment from components that are sourced from countries that we don't necessarily 100% trust, okay, then your fallback plan can be to go to, let's say, a UK company, which uses trusted foundries, let's say, and has a very trusted supply chain that we don't have any qualms about. He would prefer that sort of approach to strictly Buy American, I think you could say.
Jared Serbu, always a great notebook, always interesting read. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Jason.
Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu on the 2017 defense budget as approved by Congress this past weekend. Find his and all of our budget coverage at federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive.